Amen. Well, let's find in the book of Ezra where the people of God gathered together as one man, much as we are doing today, in order to give praise and thanksgiving to God, to worship Him. And so we'll look at today the entire chapter of Ezra, chapter 3. If you've not been with us, Judah has been in Babylon now for roughly 50 years. They were exiled because they sinned against the Lord and refused to listen to His word and to His prophets. And so they've been removed from the promised land. But God in His grace and His faithfulness, in words long spoken before, both by the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah, have brought back the exiles into the promised land because of His graciousness. And so in chapter 2, then, we have sort of an accounting of who came and where they came from. And now as we enter into chapter 3, we find out what they are doing, even as they are still new in the land. Now, when the seventh month came, and the sons of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brothers, arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. So they set up the altar on its foundation, for they were terrified because of the peoples of the lands, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, burnt offerings morning and evening. They celebrated the Feast of Booths, as it is written, and offered the fixed number of burnt offerings daily, according to the ordinance, as each day required. And afterward there was a continual burnt offering, also for the new moons and for all the fixed festivals of the Lord that were consecrated, and from everyone who offered a freewill offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters, and food, drink, and oil to the Sidonians and the Tyrians, to bring cedar wood from Lebanon to the sea at Joppa, according to the permission they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. 7 months later, now in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brothers, the priests and the Levites, and all who came from the captivity to Jerusalem, began the work and appointed the Levites from 20 years and older to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua, with his sons and brothers, stood united with Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, and the sons of Henadad, with their sons and brothers, the Levites, to oversee the workmen in the temple of God. Now, when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel. They sang, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His loving kindness is upon Israel forever." And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Yet many of the priests and Levites, and heads of fathers' households, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, while many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the shout of joy from the sound of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard far away. Our Heavenly Father, we have finished reading this portion of Your Holy Word, and we would pray in accordance with Your Word that it would not return to You void, that it would not simply land in our ears and be filed away in some historical category of our minds, of something that happened long ago, but may we see You, and may we see the reaction of Your people to Your great work, and may we apply the eternal principles that we see here in this chapter to our own lives. May Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, help us. We are weak not only in our flesh, but in our minds, but Your Holy Spirit, who quickened us to life and faith in Christ, who enabled and quickened these men to write these words, is also able to quicken our minds that we may understand, quicken our souls and wills that we desire to obey. Father, I pray that you would receive glory and honor in the moments and in the days and months and years that follow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So as I try to give you something of a summary setup for where we are, the year is roughly 537, 536 BC as we are now entering chapter 3. And the Israelites have completed their 900-mile journey, roughly taking 4 months, as these 50,000 individuals come along with their donkeys and all the utensils and all the possessions that they had out of Babylon back into the promised land, and they are now back home. And they know who they are, they know where they are living, and now Ezra, as the scribe of this book, accounts their very first act. And it's one of worship. This morning, when we look at the book of Ezra and we see that God has restored His people back to a restored land, I want us to see that from Ezra's perspective that God restores His people into a restored place for the purpose of restored worship. It was not so that they could go back to the promised land and resume their lives of sinfulness, of their neglect of God or their apathy towards God, but He had brought them back for the express purpose of honoring and praising His name. It's true not only of the people of Israel, of Judah, as they have returned back to the land, it's true of you and of me. When Christ, when the Father draws us to faith in the Son and He restores us into right relationship with Himself, His purpose is not so that we may go out and sin again. His purpose is so that we would live in worship, a renewed sense, restored sense of worship. And so this morning, that's sort of the focus I want to look, or the prism that I want to look, have us look through Ezra 3 at this issue of restored worship, and what does restored worship bring? What does it look like? If God is in the midst, restoring worship. And so this morning, I want to give you five evidences, I guess, or five results of God restoring worship and what that would look like. And first, what I want us to see is that when God restores His people in worship, there is a recovered unity. There is a recovered unity. And I'm looking at this here at verse 1. Now, when the seventh month came, and I'm going to explain why that month is important, from Ezra's point of view. Now, when the seventh month came and the sons of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man in Jerusalem. This is a monumental moment in the lives of the people of Israel. Well, why do I say that? Well, I say that because of where they are meeting again. It is Jerusalem. It is the center of worship. It was neglected before the exile, for they all had, many people had their own sort of temples and their own idols, their own high places in the hills, and Jerusalem and the worship of the temple was neglected. But now they have gathered to this particular place, Jerusalem, and they have gathered to Jerusalem after having been in exile for a little over 50 years in another land where they could not gather together as one. They were dispersed in a foreign land and foreign cities. They were put in, if you would, prisoner of war camps, prisoner of war cities. They were not allowed to intermingle the way that they would like to. They were not allowed to express themselves in the worship of Yahweh the way that their fathers had taught them. But now they were all back in Jerusalem by the work of God. And they were gathered not as many families. Notice the shift from chapter 2 to chapter 3. In chapter 2, there's this very distinct relating of who's who and where they've come from, and now there is this shift from the many differences to one man with one purpose, one group with one purpose. Much like us,